Happy Tuesday, everyone. I'm Pam Stack, your host, and this is Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. If you're listening to us live, would you please click the follow button so my boss knows I'm doing my job? We are celebrating Women Writers Month in honor of Women's History Month. We've had some of the best, the brightest, the newest, and the most established authors with us who write in all genres. Tonight, my guest is a longtime friend, I'm very honored to say. She's been writing contemporary romance, historical, and beautiful women's fiction for quite a while now, since about 2005. She is a Rita Award nominee. She started off as a journalist. It's a really interesting story. She has just moved to New Mexico, where the surroundings and the environment totally fit her needs. It's my pleasure to introduce the most fabulous Susan Donovan to Authors on the Air. Susan, hi, how are you?
Oh, Pam, what an introduction. I'm just so humbled. I have been writing since 2002, though, I just have to say.
But you were published in 2005, right? You first got published in 2005. Well, then your website is wrong, babes. Or else I can't read.
You know what?
It might be.
My first one came out in 2003, 2002.
Ah.
I can't remember. But anyway, it
okay.
But I'm great. I'm sitting here in my living room looking at the sunset on the mountains. And if I had anything to complain about, I just wouldn't feel right complaining. It's just so beautiful. So
you've talked about going back to the Southwest, and you said there's where your soul lies. And
mm-hmm.
you're motivated and you're writing and you just sound
yep.
so at peace every time you and I communicate. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm happy here. I'm very glad to be back. And my kids love it so much that they're either relocating here permanently or coming here for the summer for an internship. So I'm happy about that.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as they don't move back in. Can I say that? As a parent, you know, you understand the frustration, right? So
oh, absolutely.
my kid's on the other side of the state, and I love her dearly, and I see her as often as I can, talk to her all the time, but I do not want to live together. At least we've established that. It's a wonderful thing.
Yes, it
so,
is. Absolutely.
I have been catching up, and I went back and reread the Bayberry Island series because I love those books so much. That particular series, as a matter of fact, you're welcome. That particular series is so special because it kind of was a real turn in some of the books that you were writing. You really stepped it up into women's fiction, and it's so beautiful
mm-hmm.
and so well done. I just love those books. Are you sorry to close the trilogy and say goodbye, or will you ever approach it again, do you think?
That's a loaded question. All the time, you know, whenever I come to the end of a trilogy, I grieve the loss of the community that I've created and the characters.
Sure.
That's
sure.
just part of being a writer. However, I have the attention span of a gerbil. So I have to move on. I have to move on to other things or I start to get really bored. And so that was true with this series as well. I loved it. I loved doing it. But when I hit three books, I was ready to start something new. So
I think that's marvelous. You know, I've been following you for a long time. When you and I spoke a couple of years ago, I think I was telling you that I got turned on to your books and went to the library. And at the time, I wasn't a host. I was just reading all the time and went to the library. And I had just moved to the area that I live in now. And they have a fabulous library system. And they said, I said, how many books can I check out on a monthly basis? And she said 50. And so I went and checked out 50 books. And of course, the first 50 included in those books were yours. And to this day, as much as I love Bayberry Island, I love your anthologies. I love your historical. I like everything that you've done with everyone. And I love Partridge in the Au Pair's Tree, by the way. And I love Real Men, and I love Unbound, and all the other books that you did before that, because believe me, I read every single one of them. I am still very partial to the Dog Walker series. And I think I've told you before that Not That Kind of Girl, the story of Eli and his sweetheart, Roxanne, is just about my favorite book of all time. And after that, I love the Bigler North Carolina books, Cherry Top and I Want Candy. Will we ever see another one?
Yes, we will.
really?
Okay, so Cherry on Top came out in 2011. Cherry on Top came out in 2011. I Want Candy came out in 2012. And the third book in this series, which is called Stealing Taffy, was supposed to come out in 2013. And that is when I got sick. I became seriously ill at the very end of 2011. And I won't go into the details, but I almost died, and my entire writing career kind of came to a screeching halt. And I actually did some other books in between, but I finally finished Stealing Taffy. And it is coming out on August 30th. It's being released by St. Martin's. So it will wrap up the trilogy set in Bigler, North Carolina. And it's very interesting because the characters, Cherry and Candy, were best friends, and they left this little tiny town in North Carolina and moved to Florida to make a fortune in real estate.
Right.
But then the real estate market tanked, and they had to move back to this little town. And, you know, that was the first two stories. And Taffy was the sister of Cherry. And Taffy started out as the most dysfunctional, obnoxious, raving bitch that I think I've ever written. And then I ended up having to write her book. I didn't actually know I was going to write a third book. And so I had developed this character, and then I had to turn her into a heroine. So it was very challenging, but it turned out to be, I think, one of my very best books. It's the character is such a mess. She is such a hot mess, and she somehow pulls herself out of that and becomes a good person. And
you do those books so well, though, Suze. You really do.
Well,
and I have
you.
To say, Susan did give me a little advance notice on this. So if you go to my Facebook page, my profile page at 4PanStack, Susan's giving you a sneak peek of the cover. It's beautiful, and it's going to be fun. Thank you so much for letting me do that, Susan. I just adore this series. This is going to be so much fun. What do you think the release date will be for Stealing Taffy?
It's August 30th.
How fun. You've got to come back,
yep.
And we've got to go ahead and celebrate.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That
yeah,
good.
This is terrific.
Now, I have more good news.
Tell me more.
I also finished
good news.
Okay. Okay, now the book that I did with my writing partner, Celeste Bradley, that came out in 2011, it was called A Courtesan's Guide to Getting Your Man.
Yes.
And then it was re-released as Unbound in trade.
Yes. Right.
Well, we had been contracted to write a follow-up for that book. And it got put on the back burner because of my illness again. And we actually just finished it last week. And it is
How
turned
wonderful.
In. Yep. I'm so
And do
excited.
We have a name? Do we have a name for
yes.
this one?
It's called Breathless.
Oh, my gosh. Do we have a cover?
And it's Oh, gosh, no, not yet.
Okay.
It's the story of the courtesan who was the mentor to the young courtesan in the first book. It's her story, and mixed with the story of the contemporary heroine's character in the first book,
yes.
her best friend. So it's a continuation of the world, but two completely different stories.
Well, I have to say, I'm going to go ahead and post that picture because Unbound has a very provocative cover, but it's absolutely exquisitely written. So I want everybody to go ahead and take a look at it, and you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. And that book, too, is going to come when?
I don't know yet. It's probably going to be the beginning of 2017, is my guess. But I don't have a date yet. You know, it's very interesting because Celeste and I traveled to Spain in 2011 to research this book. And we spent some time in Barcelona and Catalonia, Spain, and we set most of the book there. And it was, I had to take all these years off and get to the story. And honestly, it was like I never finished my trip to Spain until I finished this book. It just took me back to every place we went, everything we saw, everything we experienced. And it was just such a thrill to get this book done.
I'm so glad you said that, because it reminds me of something that I read that an author had said one time. I think I was listening on NPR, and he said that that he doesn't go on vacations. He goes where his characters live and work. And so I wondered, did you feel yourself surrounded by the story when you were there? Well, we got disconnected for a second there. Let me go ahead and replace that call. So hold on just one second. Having a little funky issue in the studio tonight. I'm not sure what's happening.
I'm here.
Sorry, I don't know what happened there. So let's continue.
I don't either.
I was saying, it's totally my fault. I'm blaming the studio completely. It has nothing to do with you or I. When you were in Spain, could you feel yourself walking in your character's shoes?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, when we went to Spain, we had an extremely rough idea what we wanted the story to be about. And so we allowed the trip to inform the story. We allowed our experiences there to create the plot and the characters and the love stories. It was organic, completely organic.
How wonderful. What a magnificent feeling that must have been.
It was. It was really great. And, it was a supreme frustration to me over those years when I couldn't get back to writing the book. It was horrific. And so I am extremely grateful that I had the opportunity to finally finish it.
It seems to me you found yourself in the desert of New Mexico, and does that sound funny? But you know what I'm saying. You really have come back to yourself after dealing
with a lot
of different major personal issues, most of all your health.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know anything about Susan's health, I recommend you go to her website at susandonovan.com. She gives some really interesting information, and it's a beautiful site anyway. You're going to love it. It's very simple, easy to use. It's so reader-friendly.
Thank you, Pam. Now, I have to say, there really isn't anything on my website about my illness. I have a separate blog if anyone is interested in reading it. All you have to do is Google Susan Donovan and then the word unbalanced, and it will take you to my blog that describes my journey from near death to kicking ass.
There you go.
It's very interesting.
It is fitting that during Women's History Month that we are honoring our women writers, and I'm so glad that you're here because, man, if anyone has overcome a lot of obstacles and really literally jumped through hoops to get where she is, it's you, Susan. And I'm so thrilled that you agreed to come on. Kicking ass, girl. I love it. Love it. It's fantastic. So you're right. Way you're enjoying your desert home with your dogs. You are also you do a lot of DIY stuff, don't you? I know you post a lot. You're very interested in filling the space around you, things that are very comfortable to you. It has a very, not a feel, but when I look at the things you post, you have a very comfortable, cottagey type of a feel to things that you talk about. Is that what you try to fill your home with? You like a lot of those projects, don't you? Yeah.
It's an interesting combination. I have, my home is filled with a mix of Southwest, international bohemian, and cottage. I don't think there's a word for it. It's just my, you know, my mishmash, my personality.
There you go.
There you go.
Donovan mishmash. There you go. And have you acclimated? You went from being in the kind of the Northwest, sort of the Northwest, to being in the Southwest. How have you acclimated?
Well, it's the Northeast. I lived in Maryland.
In Northeast.
Yeah, that's
hello.
Okay.
I'm a blonde. I'm directionally challenged. No, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew you were in Maryland because we talked when you were there. Sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. So I was there for about 23 years, actually. I followed my husband at the time, who worked as a doctor in this town in Maryland. And I lived there for 23 years and raised my kids. And, but the whole time I was, you know, definitely thinking about returning to New Mexico. So, it was not difficult at all for me to get back into the groove here. Interesting. I've been here about a year, a little over a year, and I remember that I had been here 2 weeks, and I woke up one morning, and it was just this stunningly beautiful New Mexico morning, and the mountains were right outside my huge picture windows, and I remember having this horrible sinking feeling that my vacation was going to be over, and I had to go home.
Oh, no.
And then I realized, oh, my God, this is my home. I was so happy. I didn't have to
how
go
wonderful.
Back. So,
it's so funny because
and,
you moved from a large town to a small town, and you seem to be most comfortable in the smaller ones, even though you started off as a journalist, and you worked for a big paper, and you covered big stories. So what a change-up
for
about you.
It is, but you know what? Going from a newspaper journalist in my 20s and early 30s, I went from that to I had a short stint on Capitol Hill for a U.S. senator, and then I became a mom. You talk about a shrinking world, you know, when you're home with your babies, you know, that's it. And so for me, I started writing fiction from that place of being a stay-at-home mom. And so, you know, I had some buffer there. It wasn't like I went from, you know, the big city politics, you know, and journalism to writing romance, that there was quite a bit of time in between. So, I do miss it a little bit. But it's what I'm doing right now suits me perfectly. And I am, you know, I'm an extrovert who is living an introvert's life. And I'm okay with it right now. So,
do you have neighbors close by, or are you separated some distance from your neighbors?
I can see other people's houses. But that's
really?
But that's about it. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty, you know, I'm not isolated. I'm not in the middle of absolutely nowhere. But I have quite a bit of space around me, quite a bit of acreage and just kind of, you know, cliffs and gullies and, you know, stretches of land. So it's very cool.
Wonderful. I long for something like that. I find that the older I get, I want a little bit more peace, even though I'm I'm an extrovert. Very social person. I have a lot of friends. We like to do a lot of different things, but quite the contrary to what everybody thinks. I'm not stuck behind a book all the time. I do read a lot, but I just don't watch TV. That's the big difference. I manage my time well. But I kind of like, you know, as I get older, Susan, I don't know if this is true for you. I'm kind of comfortable in the peacefulness of things. I kind of
I crave peace.
Yeah.
Crave it. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's because when you've had kind of a hectic time and you think, God, give me peace, please. And then finally you get it. It's like you don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but I know you understand what I'm saying. That,
I just am grateful every day. I'm grateful for peace every day. And I have found that being in a peaceful environment, it just completely feeds my creativity. My creativity has been off the chain out here. And
I am
you know, exploring all kinds of different projects and, I'm looking
Let's
to
hear.
Branch out.
Tell me what you can tell me.
Okay, well, thing, I guess, is that I am now officially out of contract, meaning I do not have any more contracted books with a publisher. I have been working for a New York publisher now for 16 years, usually St. Martin's, and then I went to Penguin Random House, Berkeley, did some HQN and some Kensington. So I've always been a traditional publishing gal and have always had a contract. I have not had any time in my life where I didn't have a contract. And so now I have nothing. And it is a decision that I made because publishing is such a mess right now. And I just decided that what was offered to me wasn't really worth my time. And so I'm going to go off and do my own thing and hope for the best. It is at once thrilling and terrifying. But I have to believe in myself.
Yeah.
I have to believe in myself. I have to believe in my talent and my ability to, you know, to do this, and I'm going for it. It looks really different. You know, I'm going to continue the Susan Donovan women's fiction. I have a couple women's fiction ideas that I am going to pursue, and I think that they will have some romance element, but I think it will be a little bit more women's fiction even than where I've been. I'm also working on revamping my very first book I wrote in the year 2000, was rejected by everyone for good reason. I'm reworking it into a romantic suspense ghost story.
How wonderful.
It is wonderful.
I love it.
It's really cool. So I'm going to be putting that out. It's a stretch for me, but you know, I need to try new things and get re-energized. I'm also working on projects with my writing partner, Celeste Bradley. We have quite a few things that we are doing. And for us, it's a matter of prioritizing and organizing our schedules because we have so many things that we're working on. So, and then in addition to that, I am doing a screenplay. So...
You are. But you know something? At this point in our lives, isn't it kind of nice to, like you said, it's terrifying also, but it's really interesting to be able to flap your own wings without the safety net. You know, just kind of go for it. You don't have to, you're not beholden to anyone. You know, you're not beholden you're probably going to be
absolutely.
More creative too, Susan, I would imagine.
I would imagine
that you're free from the constraints of traditional publishing and what they expect of a Susan Donovan novel. So you get to play around and experiment and have fun with it. And, you know, you're in charge of your success and your failures, correct?
Oh, that is correct. I think that's the case anyway. But, it's interesting because I will be stretching and changing and growing, but I'm still going to have that basic, you know, Susan Donovan vibe in all my books. Like, It's my
I'm
voice.
Sure.
I can't escape it. You know, it's always going to be with me. And my theory is that, first of all, I'm 54 years old. So if I'm not going to do it now, when am I going to do it?
And when, right?
Never.
Right.
This is it. I mean, I'm going for it because this is the opportunity I have.
And
this is the Women's Writer Month, so, you know, this is something that's universal to women writers, I think. We really have to convince ourselves sometimes to just go for it. But the thing with me is that I know myself well at this point, and I know that when I have regrets about my life, it's very, very rarely that I regret things I did that didn't turn out so great. It's mostly I regret things I never had the courage to try.
God,
and
true
so
words
I don't want to be.
Spoken.
Yeah, I don't want to be in that position, you know, when I'm 65. I don't want to look back and say, yeah, you know, I really should have given it a shot.
Shoulda, coulda. Right. It's interesting that, pardon me, some of the best writers that I know, and more as I reach deeper and deeper to talk to women and women who are writing women's fiction, are seizing their own destiny. And I love that. I love that. Less so a lot of men authors, but women writers are going for it. They're just grabbing onto it and saying, here I go, watch me fly. You know, I've established myself. Mm-hmm. I trust my own writing chops. I trust my readers and my fans to push me along the way and to tell me if I've taken a misstep. And I think that's wonderful. It's a very brave thing to do. You're right. You look back with regrets at the things you didn't try, but never for the things you tried. Yeah, so good for you. Let me just take a moment here to remind everyone, this is a trademark copyrighted podcast solely owned by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. I am speaking with the fabulous, fabulous, wonderful, and friend, Susan Donovan. We are chatting during Women Writers Month here on the Authors on the Air Network in honor of Women's History Month. Susan, before I start open up the phone lines, I want to ask you, what woman inspires you or inspired you?
Do you mean in my own world, in my own life, or in culture in general?
I don't know. You tell me. You know the answer to that. Whoever, you know, there has to be someone who just jumped to your mind immediately.
Yes, well, my mother, of course. I think most women would say that their mother had a profound influence on how they perceive themselves in the world and how they perceive their options in the world.
Yes.
And my mother was an extremely creative person. She was a woman who was never given the opportunity to use her creativity as an economic engine in her own life, but she was very creative. And more than that, my mother was extremely funny. She was such a funny lady. You know, the word we used most often was goofy. She was goofy, but she was very funny. And my mom taught me how to make something out of nothing, and I mean that literally. I mean cooking, making something in the kitchen when you didn't have the right ingredients, she could still pull it off.
Right.
You know, making clothes from a pile of scraps and a few dress patterns, she could pull that off. My mom never was limited by, you know, the resources she did not have. She managed to just do it. And so I think I absorbed that from my earliest days. And that just informed the woman that I became. So
wonderful.
My mom had the most. Yep.
Yeah. I think of my mom in the same way. She was very creative, although she could do a lot of things that I am not able to do. She was very creative. You know, she went to painting. She tried this. She tried that. I mean, she was a Boy Scout troop leader, for crying out loud. You know, she would take packing beans and make projects. I'm not quite that creative, but I have to tell you that both my parents really pushed me hard to do anything I wanted to do, and I did a lot of different things. So, you know, which is why every time I end my show, it's always thank you, Mom and Dad. What female writer influenced you, or professional woman influenced you?
Well, I have, you know, I have some people, some writers who have influenced me greatly, and for different reasons, I have, you know, there are a few writers that I find are insanely talented, just like supernaturally talented.
Yes.
And for me, they include Annie Lamott, Barbara Kingsolver is is one. I think she's my favorite writer. But then I know writers personally who inspire me for their attitude, for their ability to create their own careers. You know, I've been able to watch writers firsthand make something of their lives through their writing and run their own business and become, you know, robber barons, really, in publishing. And
how
that's
wonderful.
Very inspiring. Oh.
Good for you. Is your daughter creative?
Yes. My daughter.
Your daughter is very creative, isn't she?
Yeah, she is. She is. She's 20. She's almost 21. She's an actress. She is a writer. She's a comedian. She does sketch comedy, and she does a national column for a college humor publication. So she's, you know, she's definitely out there doing
her
thing.
She's your mother's daughter, there's no doubt, right? Does
yeah.
she recognize
yeah, I
that
think
she
so.
Gets that from you? Does she honor
oh,
that
God,
she gets
yes.
it from you? Good.
Yes,
I'm so
she
glad.
Does. For better or ill, she knows where she gets her stuff, yes.
Yeah, but, you know, you've always had kind of a wicked sense of humor, Susan, for all the years I've known you. And so I think that's a good thing. And in the face of the adversities that you've faced, you kind of have to have a wicked sense of humor. And you do, as a matter of fact, with everything that you've gone through and all your changes and everything. So bless you for that. I want to open the phone lines. The number is 347-633-9609. I'm speaking to the fabulous Susan Donovan. If you've not had a chance to read one of her books, you must have been hiding someplace because she is terrific. I've always said that Susan created the guy on the pedestal for me. His name is Eli, and he is a character in her Dog Walker series, and the book is called Not That Kind of Girl. Tell us about the Dog Walker series. I really want to talk about that series because I love it so much.
Well, I'll do my very best since I'm old and my memory is shot to hell. I may not remember everything, but I did a series about four friends in San Francisco who were all at different stages of life, all with different lives, who got together and walked their dogs every morning in the same park. And that connection created their little posse. They probably wouldn't have, you know, been hanging out together if it weren't for their dogs. So I did a book about three of these characters, and then the fourth character had a minor story in the last book. And it was just, it was about, I think that the dogs were symbols for these women. They learned about themselves. They learned to, about their own behavior patterns and how they could be happier in life through their dogs. And I had each dog kind of be a reflection of the psyche of the character, of the woman character. And so the book that you like, the character, the human character, her name was Roxanne, and she hated men. She just hated men. She wrote she had a website called ivomitonallmen.com. She had, you know, like monthly contests, you know, to pick the worst man in the world. And she had this dog that had been abused, had been mistreated, and was lashing out, was biting and attacking people. And it's basically, it was a reflection of her own life. And through helping her dog, she figured out what was going on with herself. So
it's
that was kind of
life
that story.
I have to tell you, every single story in that trilogy was life-affirming. It really was, and I just enjoyed it so much. And, you know, you wrote those books a few years ago, and they stay mm-hmm. with me so vividly, which to me is the sign of an author who knows her crap, you know? I mean, you know your shit. That's all there is to it. Because I remember those books vividly. And, you know, when you and I think when we first met years ago, that's the series that we spoke about. And I still, to this day, I'll go back and I'll read those books, and just a joy comes over me. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank
that
you.
Is what
oh, absolutely.
Really well done women's fiction should do for you. And books that stay with me, and, you know, you guys know, my listeners know, I read a lot of books. I mean, 1,000 books come across my desk every single year, and I choose 400 to read. And the ones that stay with me like that will stay with me forever. And that I know, those I know are the best of. They are the best of. And I can't think of another author who has affected me like that. So for that, I thank you,
Aww.
Susan.
Thank you. Thank you
All
so
right,
much. I wrote those
you're
books.
You're welcome. Go ahead. You wrote the
book. I was going to say, I wrote those books right after my divorce and kind of during that healing time after my divorce. And so it was very much a reflection of me learning about myself in a different context. You know, not being married anymore. It was just such a dramatic, challenge for me. So I think that's where those books came from.
They were fabulous. What's next for Susan Donovan?
You mean what, like literally? Like what's coming next on the market? Well, it's Stealing Taffy.
I know. Stealing Taffy and The Breathless, which is the sequel to Unbound.
Right.
And what are you
right.
doing these days? What are you doing to occupy your creative time other than writing? I know you're enjoying your peaceful time.
I am. I'm enjoying that. I'm reading. I'm painting.
I was going to ask, are you painting? Good.
Yes, I'm painting. I'm painting furniture and painting art, and I'm making jewelry, and I'm, what else am I doing? Swimming. And just
wonderful.
Kind of like, just hanging out and enjoying my friends here and all the beauty that surrounds me. So,
I love that. Will you come back and be kind of the host and you and Celeste talk one night? I would love to hear that
sure.
conversation. I'd love
oh,
to
Oh, you know what?
Your,
that would be great.
I'd love to hear, be especially since you've got Breathless coming out, I would love to have you come back and have a conversation with your writing partner and just sit back and listen. I'll be your production assistant. Could I talk to
sure.
you into doing that?
Absolutely.
I would love that.
And it's
tell everybody
because,
where. Go ahead.
No.
I want to hear what you're going to say.
I was going to say that it's interesting because Celeste and I, we both know that we are better together than we are apart. It's like we have accepted that truth. And once you accept that, you know, everything falls into place. Our egos are really, really, you know, kept at the door. We just work together, and if one person sees something that the other person doesn't, then it's not a big deal. There's no power struggle. And it's just such a joy. I don't know how I got so lucky, but I did. And it's just always
hard
a lot of
fun. Hard
for
me to believe
to
that you're gonna. It's going to be better than what it is, but I accept your word for that. I'd love for you and Celeste to come back and kind of take over the microphones and just chat. Because a collaboration like that is very rare. And it's
it
very
is.
Special, and it's very powerful, and especially when it's women. And I really want to hear about that. Will you come back?
Okay. Absolutely.
Right. Tell everybody where they can find you. Where are you on social media?
Well, aside from my house in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico, you can find me at SusanDonovan.com. You can find me on Facebook at Susan Donovan fan page at Facebook. You can find me at Twitter at S Donovan Author at Twitter. And you can find me on Instagram as S Donovan Author. Am I missing anything? I'm on Goodreads.
And you who never ever did social media, I'm so proud of you.
Well,
you still don't do it a whole lot, but you do it, right?
Don't get me started, please.
Okay. Why, from a wise woman, let's hear your one piece of advice to other up-and-coming wise women.
God. You mean like, what advice would I give to a woman who's just starting to write or something?
I don't know. You tell me. I just want to hear wise words from someone who's...
Okay, well, here... Just, I don't know.
And came out the other side.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, there's no alcohol involved in this conversation, so I don't really know how inspiring it'll be. But I would have to say that... I wish for myself. I wish that I would have trusted my instincts as a younger woman, just trusted what my gut told me about everything, about myself, about the world, about relationships, about, you know, limitations. I wish I had trusted my inner voice earlier. And I don't know if there's any way that you can actually make that happen faster. I really don't.
I don't know if you can. I think you're right.
Happens over time.
Yes, I think you're right. Living just makes you do that. There comes a point when you say, I don't know. To me, it was hitting 40, and I always thought, you know, after 40, I thought I really don't give a crap what anybody else thinks. I'm going with what my gut tells me, what my instinct tells me, what my intellect, what my experience tells me. And it's been a pretty good barometer for things, too. So thank you. Those are great words. They really are. Okay, so you're there, Susan? All right, she's fading out. We're getting ready to go. I want to thank my friend Susan Donovan, fabulous, award-winning and best-selling New York Times author. On Wednesday, I'll be speaking to CJ Carpenter, and on Friday, Rebecca Warner, as we continue our Women Writers Month. Thank you for being with me. Have a lovely evening, and thank you, Mom and Dad. Good night, all.